knowledge. And the whole reason these have been set up is not for us, or not for the brother here, because he's not gaining any material thing from this. I'm not gaining any material thing with this. I can be at home revising for my exams. I'm not gaining anything from this. But it's for the people of this community, for the ummah. Because what's missing in society right now is knowledge and guidance. Guidance as to what to do in terms of how to pray. Just the basics of the deen. Or how to carry out a daily struggle throughout our lives, from going to colleges and universities to our workplaces. That sort of guidance. Yes, we have a greater struggle, the international struggle. But even this, that struggle that we see today internationally, it has its roots because of a lack of knowledge in this ummah. People have turned away from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have turned away from the commands of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we see what's happening in ummah today. People will look towards materialistic things. People will look towards governments, towards money, towards houses, towards cars, and think this is where success lies. But success and the victory over our struggle, over this international struggle, over this community struggle, over our personal struggle lies in following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. And through the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the struggle that we talk about. And like I said, this is for your benefit. This is for the community. So if you have brothers, if you know brothers out there, tell them to come. Tell them to learn about the deen. And because the setup of these talks will be, there will be a talk given by Brother Israr, and then there will be a question and answer session. And the question and answer session is very important in this day and age, because people ask questions to the wrong people. People write off to a newspaper or email some website with some imam that they've never seen. But this time you can see the brothers in front of you. You can ask the questions that you want to ask. If you're afraid, you know, if you're a bit shy of getting up and standing to ask a question, you can write it down on a piece of paper. I'm sure they'll be passing them around, inshallah. And write your question down, inshallah, we'll answer them. For your benefit. Again, I have to reiterate that. For your benefit, for the benefit of this community. Because we're not realizing what's happening to the ummah in this day and age. All you have to do is turn on the TV, open a newspaper, and there's an attack on the niqab. And people think, oh, you know, well, I will disagree or agree with this. It's not the point. The point is, if we don't stick together, if we do not stand shoulder to shoulder as Muslims, if we don't stand up for our fellow brothers, if we don't stand up for our fellow sisters, after the niqab, it will be the hijab. After the hijab, it will be the thawb. After the thawb, it will be the beard and the hat. And then no Muslim identity will be left. You don't have to look far. Look at Turkey, look at Tunisia where the hijab is banned. Muslim countries, they have banned the hijab. This is a struggle. We must stand together, shoulder to shoulder. Doesn't matter if you're a black Muslim, a white Muslim, or a Pakistani Muslim, or a Raja Muslim, or whatever Muslim people may think that they are. We must stand shoulder to shoulder, because what unites us is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what unites us. If you walk out of here, out of the mosque after praying your prayer, and you see a brother being abused, being attacked, being insulted, and you just walk by, what have you gained? This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to stand up for our brothers and sisters. If you see someone verbally attacking a sister that's wearing a hijab, doesn't matter in what way, it doesn't have to be swearing, insults, it doesn't have to be a swear. If someone in your college or university says, you know what, I don't understand this hijab thing. It's a sign of separation. And you just walk on by. Say, hey, I don't wear a hijab, why should I care? If you let that happen, then you have gained nothing. We have gained nothing. We must stand shoulder to shoulder. If someone says something against the hijab, it's our job to speak out. And say, yes, it is a mark of separation, but alhamdulillah, it's a sign of devotion, it's a sign of piousness, and this society is made up of differences. If you see a brother being attacked and you walk by and do nothing, then you have gained nothing. People look to international affairs and what's going on, and these are very important, and they make their heart, they feel like they get very passionate about it. But outside you have so many things happening and brothers just carry on walking and they don't care. So just introducing Brother Isra now. Brother Isra is, mashallah, he studied in Syria with many shiukh in Damascus under Sheikh Muhammad Yaqubi and many other shiukh who you go through, because I don't want to say some and miss some out. Inshallah he'll tell you that if he wishes. And he's not some foreign person. He's not some imam that's come over from another country. He was born in this community. He was born in Sparkbrook. He lives in Sparkbrook, to be exact, Birmingham. It's not someone who doesn't know what's happening out there. Someone that attended the colleges, he knows what's happening. Sometimes you have people that will be somewhat abstract, that they'll be away from the society, that the youth that they speak to, and they won't know what's happening. He knows, he sees the brothers drive past, pumping the music. He sees what's happening in the colleges. He sees what the struggle is outside in the street. He sees what the struggle is inside the mosque. He sees what the struggle is inside the home, and he sees what struggle is on an international level. So let me just introduce him, inshallah. Brother Isra will inshallah start a series of talks every week, Saturday after Isha, inshallah, and question and answers. If you have any questions throughout, remember them, or if the brother is going to pass papers around, jot them down and then put them to the brother at the end, inshallah. Jazakallah.
صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه. كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرك الغافلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 52, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Do not obey the kafirin, the disbelievers, those who disbelieve in Al-Qur'an and disbelieve in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And struggle against them. جَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. The greater struggle. جَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ. Struggle against them with it. He referring back to Al-Qur'an. Fight them, struggle against the disbelievers with Al-Qur'an. And fighting against the disbelievers with Al-Qur'an does not refer to a fight which involves guns or swords or weapons. No. It refers to the evidences of Al-Qur'an. It refers to the cutting decisive evidences of Al-Qur'an, the verses of Al-Qur'an. Each verse of Al-Qur'an is a weapon, and the believer has this weapon given to him by his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Indeed, each verse of Al-Qur'an contains decisive proof and takes an individual to use his intellect to use the decisive evidences of Al-Qur'an. Using one's intellect, using one's brains, is not something which is far from Al-Islam, and nor is it something which is far from that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam brought to mankind. Using one's intellect is hand in hand with Al-Qur'an, hujjatul Qur'an, the evidences of Al-Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Struggle against them with it, meaning Al-Qur'an, the major jihad. The major jihad here has not been referred to in Al-Qur'an as the jihad with the sword or with the weapon. Rather, in Al-Qur'an itself, the major jihad has been referred to as jihad of Al-Qur'an, presenting Al-Qur'an. And indeed, this is the struggle of our time. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many times, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Do they not use the intellect? From عقل, عقل means intellect, to use one's intellect. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Do they not use the intellect? This is the underlying foundation of Al-Islam, and this is the major struggle of Al-Islam in all times. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Qur'an, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Tadabbur means to meditate or understand or even consider Al-Qur'an. Do they not meditate or understand Al-Qur'an? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Do they not understand this Qur'an which has been revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? لو كان من عندي غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. If it was from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have found in Al-Qur'an much different contradictions in Al-Qur'an. Hence, أفلا يتدبرون القرآن. Do they not understand Al-Qur'an? Do they not ponder over Al-Qur'an? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to use our intellect. In another part of Al-Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. Verily we have revealed upon you Muslims a book, meaning Al-Qur'an. فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. In it, in this book, is your mention, ذِكْرُكُمْ. Your mention, the mention of this nation and all other nations. This is why one of the Salaf al-Salih, rahmahullah ta'ala, would open Al-Qur'an and look through Al-Qur'an to find the different types of people. If you open Al-Qur'an from Surah Al-Fatiha, the first chapter of Al-Qur'an, to Surah Al-Nas, you will find all types of people mentioned in Al-Qur'an. In fact, Sayyiduna ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, as mentioned by Imam al-Suyuti and al-Itqan, would open al-Qur'an if he would lose something. When he lost the rein of his camel, he opened al-Qur'an and found the knowledge of the rein of his camel in al-Qur'an, because all knowledge is contained in al-Qur'an. Depending on the levels of intellect and the cleanliness of the heart, people can derive this knowledge from al-Qur'an. After mentioning this, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not use your intellect? This is the underlying struggle of our times. Knowing Al-Qur'an and knowing the teachings of Al-Qur'an. This jihad, this struggle which has been mentioned in Al-Qur'an, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, has been termed jihadan kabira, the major struggle. And indeed it is a major struggle to sit down and memorize a passage of Al-Qur'an, to understand the passages of Al-Qur'an, and then to practice Al-Qur'an and to teach others Al-Qur'an is the major struggle of our times. There is also a result of this struggle. This struggle results in there being groups, believers, disbelievers. You have Muslims, then you have kuffar. When the evidences of Al-Qur'an are established upon people, once those evidences have been established, it is upon that person, if he has any intellect, to accept Al-Qur'an and practice Al-Qur'an for his own well-being. Then he becomes a believer. And if someone rejects Al-Qur'an, the first message of Al-Qur'an being At-Tawheed, calling people to oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he rejects the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengership of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then he is known as a kafir, a disbeliever. Then these disbelievers vary as well. Once this jihad of the Qur'an has been established, you have the disbelievers who fight Muslims with swords. They fight Muslims with swords and kill Muslims and oppress Muslims. Then you have disbelievers who oppress Muslims by arguing with them and write against Muslims and al-Islam. Then you have disbelievers who do not do anything and sit idle. In the same way, you have various types of Muslims. You have Muslims who have more intellect than others. Hence, they take this challenge forward of learning the evidences of Al-Qur'an and taking this forward. They perform the major jihad of taking the evidences of Al-Qur'an into society. Then you have Muslims who believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but they do not take this message forward. Neither do they struggle against the disbelievers by performing the major jihad. Hence, the major struggle of our time is moving away from activism to intellectualism, is moving away from anger and moving to sobriety, becoming calm, presenting the evidences of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. This is the major struggle of our times. To learn Al-Qur'an, to teach Al-Qur'an, to understand Al-Qur'an. And when we say Al-Qur'an, this encompasses learning the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the major struggle of our time. We have to move away from activism to intellectualism. Activism, what I mean by activism is anger, reactionary Islam. That we only react to something when we see absurd comments made by kuffar, disbelievers on television. Or when we saw the comments made by the kuffar, the disbelievers, against our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If the vast majority of Muslims had sobriety and had calmness and more of an intellectual approach with disbelievers and engaged with them with jihad kabir, the major jihad. What is the major jihad? فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادٍ كَبِيرًا. Do not obey the disbelievers and fight them. However you wish to translate the word jihad, struggle against them. Fight them with what? With Al-Qur'an. If we had established the hujjah, the evidences of Al-Qur'an amongst the disbelievers, then they would not have had two legs to stand upon. So this is the major struggle of our times. Moving away from reactionary Islam, moving away from anger and bringing out more of an intellectual Islam. Now, what is intellectualism based upon? Intellectualism, the word itself is taken from intellect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not use your intellect? Referring this to Al-Qur'an. Intellectualism does not mean reading only books written by non-Muslims. Rather, we should be familiar with their views in order to refute them. However, it refers to learning Al-Qur'an first. This is why the mashayikh say that when someone enters Western universities and studies Orientalism, prior to studying Orientalism, he must learn his religion first. This is the same with today. Prior to becoming involved in political activity and becoming involved in politics, a Muslim must know his basic religion. Hence, from becoming men of politics and anger and reactionary Islam, we should become men of understanding, ulul albab. Albab, referred to in Al-Qur'an, is plural of lub. Lub refers to the pith or the core of something. And the men who have this core understanding are referred to in Al-Qur'an as Ulul Albab, men who have understanding, deep understanding. Deep understanding of what? Of Al-Qur'an and of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Therefore, a Muslim should not become shy of presenting Al-Islam to non-Muslims. A Muslim should never become shy of presenting Al-Islam the way it is to non-Muslims. For instance, many times we hear people mentioning slavery. In Al-Islam, for instance, the word slavery does not exist. What the concept of slavery is in Al-Islam is referred to, the slave is referred to as Ar-Raqiq. Ar-Raqiq. And they translate this word as slavery. However, when this word is translated into English, it's translated as slavery, but if you look at the original word in Arabic, it is taken from Riqqa. Riqqa means to be soft. And Raqiq is someone who you become soft with. And he is your slave. You become soft with him. Why is he referred to as a Raqiq? Because you give the slave rights. You give him clothing, you give him food. He has the same rights as the person who owes the slave. And even something simple as the concept of slavery and Islam can be explained. And we do not have to hide any aspect of the religion from disbelievers. Indeed, the religion is to be presented the way it is. However, why do Muslims today think that they have to hide certain aspects of the religion? For instance, when they try to explain al-jihad, fighting and killing in the way of Allah, why do they feel that they have to hide certain aspects? Do you want to know the reason why? Because they do not know themselves. If they do not know themselves, they cannot explain such concepts. If they do not know the verses in Al-Qur'an regarding qital, killing non-Muslims, there are verses in Al-Qur'an which refer to killing kuffar. But if you do not know the verses, then you cannot explain them. Hence you try to explain away without any knowledge. Or for instance, the concept of which is known as slavery. When they try denying that slavery has become abrogated in Al-Islam, why do they come out with such comments today? Because they do not have any knowledge of the concept of slavery. This is why they push away such topics. Hence, again, the struggle of our time is to learn such topics, is to learn jurisprudence, is to learn fiqh, basic religion, to learn Al-Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Hence, the same famous saying of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, become fuqaha, men of understanding, men who know halal and haram, before you become leaders. Today, we have people standing up for elections and they do not know how to perform istinja. We have people trying to become leaders of the community and they do not know how to pray. These are simple aspects of one's religion that we need to learn. And we need our leaders first to learn their deen. Then they can become leaders. Hence, this is the major struggle of our time. Now, I listed also various other struggles, but what you will notice about the other struggles, they all fall under this struggle. Because we know Al-Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He said, جَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, fight them, struggle against them with it, with Al-Qur'an, the major jihad. This is referring to jihad of the Qur'an. However, everything else falls under these topics. For instance, laziness, fighting lethargic behavior in our communities. People cannot take out time for Al-Islam today. Fighting laziness. This is a jihad. This is a struggle. Fighting those who do not pray. People do not pray their five daily prayers. They do not come to the masajid to pray. This is a jihad. This is a struggle to bring people out And it's not easy to bring people out from their homes to the masajid to pray 5 times a day. Manners, learn basic manners. One of the brothers corrected us, alhamdulillah, that do not talk in the masjid. Learning these type of manners, etiquettes in al-masajid, even though I would say on our behalf, we're not talking about anything in the dunya, but the majlis of dhikr was going on. This is why I think the brother referred to us with the majlis of dhikr. So learn basic manners. This is a struggle of our times, to fight against ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of not knowing Al-Qur'an, of not knowing the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Fighting disorderliness with his disorder. Disorder, if the brothers have ever organized an outing with Muslim youth from our communities, they do not know what the concept of order is. To have order, disorderliness is a major disease in our communities. Fighting this, fighting bad language. For instance, many youngsters, when they speak, they use the F word in every other sentence. Fighting this, struggling against this, struggling against not using our intellects. Many people, for instance, when they sit in lectures such as this, they have not sat in lectures before and they cannot concentrate. Fighting against such behavior. If people have not sat and they cannot concentrate because they watch too much television and their brains have become fizzled, they cannot concentrate. Fighting against that. Fighting against crime. Struggling against crime. Struggling against addiction to drugs. Many people, Muslims, we know, are addicted to drugs. Waking up for Fajr. Muslims who even become practicing and come into the deen cannot wake up for Fajr. And the shuyukh say the easy cure to not praying Fajr is to sleep early. There's no other way about it. If someone does not get up for Fajr, sleep early. Struggling against this. Knowing Al-Qur'an. Struggling against oneself to read Al-Qur'an. People today cannot even sit for half an hour and read one juz of the Qur'an. They find it difficult because they do not know the meanings of the Qur'an. Their backs become tired, necks become tired. I know because I was there at one time. When we were young kids, we were told to read Al-Qur'an. We did not understand Al-Qur'an and we did not want to read it. But we would sit with our necks becoming tired. When someone would pass away, we would read one juz of the Qur'an. And children would become tired. Struggling against this. Learning Al-Qur'an. And oppression, any type of oppression. Whether that oppression be in Iraq by British forces or American forces, or oppression in Palestine, or oppression by Muslim countries against Muslims. For instance, in Syria, we have oppression of Muslims, of the Alawi minority oppressing the vast majority of Sunni Muslims. This type of oppression, struggling against oppression, struggling against tribalism. If someone comes from a different group of people from ourselves, we become biased towards them. Fighting against this ignorance. Now all these categories can be expanded upon, but they all fall under the jihad of Al-Qur'an. They all fall under one topic, the jihad of Al-Qur'an. One other major topic is worldliness. Worldliness, fighting against the love of the dunya, hubbud dunya. حب الدنيا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ has become adorned for man, للناس, or for humankind. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, ornament. تزيين refers to ornamenting something. Zuyina in the passive form means that it has become adorned by themselves and by the shayateen. They have made these things look good in the eyes of men. Hubbu shahawat, the love of desires in the hearts of men.
From what type of desires?
من النساء, from women. Women are mentioned first. من النساء والبنين, and children. People want children because children would denote power. If someone had, and tribalism comes into this. If someone has a huge tribe, then they say we have many men. And today, in today's age, gangs. If gangs have more numbers than other gangs, they will say we have more men than you. And even in a religious sense of the word, sectarian violence, when groups have more numbers than the other group, and they bring people in numbers, this has been made ornamented or adorned in the eyes of men. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. قناطير is the plural of قنطار. And قنطار, one قنطار refers to 12,000 talents. One talent is refers to one talent. One talent is 12,000 ounces. One talent. And al-qintar is the singular. However, in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-qanatir, talent, 12,000 ounces and multiplied. Al-muqantara refers to heaped upon. Min al-dhahabi wal-fiddati, from gold and from silver. This has become adorned in the eyes of men. So what has been mentioned? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Women, children, or multitude of people around having power. وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ, having heaped upon gold and silver. These things have been mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. Al-khayl is horses. Having horses. In today's age, what do we have? What do we have? Cars. Al-khayl al-musawwama. Musawwama either refers to heavy tasked horses, horses that were employed for doing heavy tasks, or horses that were used for riding and for fighting. Distinctive horses, distinctive type horses, distinctive cars in our age. Distinctive rides. People want different types of cars. وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ, having these type of things. And what else has been mentioned? وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. An'am is cows, literally, having herds of cows. Because in those days, people would cultivate land and they would employ cows. In today's age, if someone is a farmer, they employ tractors. Or if they own businesses, we have businessmen who love to have big trucks and carry goods. These fall into this verse. These things fall into this verse. And what has also been mentioned? Wal-harth. Al-harth refers to agriculture. People want agriculture because in the old days, and even recently, if we go back one or two generations, people were farmers, and they would wait for the cycle of the year to finish, and wait for the corn, or the wheat, and the barley to come out. This also falls into this verse. In our age, the income of the business, people wait for the income of the business every month. They wait. How much money have they made by the end of the month? All these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنَّهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. And that is the enjoyment of this life, the worldly life. That is the enjoyment of the worldly life. وَاللَّهُ عِنَّهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the everlasting reward. So this one verse sums up for us one of the major reasons of sinning. Why people perform all these sins? Why do people perform the sins
of the world,
because these things have become adorned in their eyes. For instance, people also want to show and display their nafs sometimes by behaving strong. This also falls into dunya. By displaying a strong vigor amongst people, this is adorning the self, the nafs. And all these major aspects fall under this verse.
One hadith narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala in his sahih also outlines for us today's situation.
يقول ابن آدم, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, the son of Adam says, the child of Adam says, مالي مالي, my wealth, my wealth.
وهل لك يا ابن آدم إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت أو لبست فأبليت أو تصدقت فأمضيت.
O son of Adam, do you not have except that which you have ate and afnayt? Afnayt is taken from fana. Fana means to destroy something. Why? We humans of such a nature, we eat pure foods that are pure in the nature, smelling good, looking good, palatable, and we are able to eat them. However, when they come out, when the food comes out, how does it come out? We know how it comes out, and the children are laughing because it's quite obvious. That's what we do to food. Afnayt, you destroyed it. You ate the food and the food was destroyed. إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ وَأَفْنَيْتَ. You ate the money you had and that's it. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. And you wore your clothes. The clothes, and then you wore the clothes out. No matter what, even if you buy the most expensive silk in the world, the silk will wear out and be finished. This is what you have, O son of Adam. And أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Or that money which you gave away as sadaqah, and it went. And in another narration, not in a narration, in a poem, the poet says, نصيبك مما تجمع الدهر كله رداءان تلوى فيهما وحنوط. نصيبك, that which you have acquired, مما تجمع الدهر كله, from which you have gathered in a dahr. A dahr comes in the Quran as well. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُمْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. A dahr refers to the epoch, the time from when creation was made till the end of creation. In this time, O man, from which you have gathered, from the beginning of your life till the end, what do you have left? رِدَاءَانِ, two cloths. Referring to al-kafan, every Muslim is wrapped in two pieces of cloth. Tulwa fihima wa hanut, you will be wrapped in these two cloths and a box. You will be placed in a box. Hanut. This is all man has. And one of the major reasons for sinning is love of the dunya. For instance, in another hadith narrated by Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لو كان لابن آدم واديان من ذهب لتمنى إليهما ثالثا. If the son of Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام had two valleys of gold, he would have wished for a third. ليتمنى لَتَمَنَّى إِلَيْهِمَا ثَالِثًا. He would have wished for a third. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ جَوْفَ ابْنِ آدَمَ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. And nothing will fill the inside. Jawf refers to the inside. Nothing will fill the inside of the son of Adam except for التُّرَاب. التُّرَاب, soil. Nothing will fulfill you except for soil when you die. ويتوب الله تعالى ويتوب الله على من تاب and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whomso Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns towards. Meaning those people only repent who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from those who turn to Him and learn the hujjah, the evidences of the Qur'an and struggle in His way as He has taught us and as His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has taught us. So this is the major struggle of our time. The reason why I mentioned some the verse of Al-Qur'an and the two ahadith on worldliness is because one of the major reasons for sinning in our times is worldliness. Is people want a portion of the hereafter, of the dunya, and no portion of the hereafter. This is the major reason for sinning in our times. And it is something to do with Al-Qur'an. If a person opens Al-Qur'an and looks at the verses of Al-Qur'an, he will find the answer to everything. And these weekly seminars, inshaAllah, we will deal with verses of Al-Qur'an. Various verses that have come with guidance and showing the relevance of these verses today. This verse read, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ الْآيَةِ. This verse is very relevant today, in our times. And it's from the major evidences of Al-Qur'an. From the major evidence of the Qur'an that man will always stay loving those things of the world and sinning for them. One hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim in their respective collections. يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانُ وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمُ وَتَظْهَرُ الْفِتَنُ وَيُلْقَى الشُّحُّ وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرْجُ قَالُ مَا الْهَرْجُ قَالَ الْقَدْرُ. That time will become close, and the scholars say what is meant by this is, for instance, the way we travel today. People take a plane from their country to another country, which would have taken months and years to get to. If someone were to travel from England over 100 years ago to China, would have taken him a long time. And people have, for instance, even books. In the old days, they would write out books. If someone were to receive a book, he would copy out the book. But today we receive printed copies. This is what is meant by يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ. Time will become restricted. وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمُ. And knowledge will be taken away. This is quite surprising because in today's age, we have all means of technology. And knowledge still becomes sparse in our communities. We have all types of means, but still people do not want to learn. وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمُ. And knowledge will be taken away. وَتَظْهَرُ الْفِتَنُ. And fitan, tribulation, will become apparent. وَيُلْقَى الشُّحُّ. And stinginess will become rife. People will become stingy. This is not only referring to selfishness with money. This is also referring to selfishness with religion and selfishness with other things. وَيَكْثُرُ الْهَرْجُ. And harj will increase. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قَالُوا مَا الْهَرْجُ. What is harj, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, الْقَدْ. Harj is murder. People will murder people. And if we notice, wherever murder becomes right and apparent, the major reasons for that are lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Lack of the things which we have just mentioned today. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, وَيُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ. Knowledge will be taken away and قَتْ هَرْج. Killing people will become apparent. So it's upon people of this community, you brothers here today, to take this forward. To take this forward in your communities, with your brothers, with your families, to take this forward and to teach people, to learn our deen, to learn Al-Qur'an, and struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. The major struggle, and the major struggle is with Al-Qur'an. The major struggle is with the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وأتوب إليه.
Any more questions?
First question. If we are peacefully walking on the street and non-believer disrespects the Prophet of Allah, are you allowed to beat that person up?
The hadood that have been mentioned in the Sharia is that anyone insults the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is killed in the Sharia. And that's when you have a Khalifa who runs the country with the Islamic law, that anyone who insults the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is killed. In our times, where people have mass ignorance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the brother was mentioning dhikr. People do not even know how to do istinja. I don't think they realize the importance of dhikr. And before we can take them to a level where they know what dhikr even is, because some people come first time to the mosque and they ask, what is this? And we cannot explain to them. This is what one of the main reasons as to doing this is. So we can tell people why and what is the importance of dhikr. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearts feel satisfaction. But if people do not even know how to pray, and they do not know what is dhikr, they do not know why we are reading dhikr, why are we sitting in a circle. Many brothers who come from our area, in Gongolshi for instance, they are only limited to their own little circle. People go off to the Salafi mosques, because they cannot even explain to them what dhikr is. A lot of people do not go to that mosque. Because I live in that area, the vast majority of the youngsters become Salafi. Because we cannot even explain to them what dhikr is. It's all very well talking from emotion or from the aspect of, we appreciate, I know hadiths are from Fridays, and wallahi when I've seen them doing the dhikr, first time I said to the brothers, one of the brothers with me, mashallah, he does dhikr very beautifully. And we hope to reach that level of dhikr as well. But the point is that many of the youngsters don't know what dhikr is and why we do dhikr. So this is the maqsad of bringing these brothers here. You cannot expect them in the first gathering to know what dhikr is and know the beautiful manners of dhikr and join in. It'll take them over a period of time, they will learn what dhikr is. And inshallah, the gatherings of dhikr will increase. And inshallah, people will join in. And inshallah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread. But first we need to teach our people basics and slowly bring them inshallah with the noble manners of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, being soft to people, speaking to them nicely and bringing them into the mosque and not turning them away. So when people do not even know these things, people do not know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So when a kafir, when Muslims do not know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and
a kafir insults the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we should go further and explain to the non-Muslim who he was and show the non-Muslim his ignorance. If we were to attack that non-Muslim, this will not do our cause any good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Struggle against them with Al-Quran. Explain to him who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was. This is why we started the book الشِّفَاء بِتَعْرِيفِ حُقُوقِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Bosleet, in the Bosleet area. This book teaching people the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was, what are the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These things have to be taught. We have to teach non-Muslims these things, and this is a part of the struggle of today. It's all very well attacking a non-Muslim, and but how many of us have sat down, made a non-Muslim sit down and explain to him who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was? The only reason we cannot do this is because we ourselves have become ignorant of our own Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The only people we know are rap stars or football players or superstars. We do not know our own Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq and change our bad state.
Do you think with all the negativity that is going on in this country, will it be safe for us to live in this country in an Islamic point of view, in brackets with the Quran and the Judgment?
The alamat yawm al-qiyamah, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will deal with in these series of lectures, and the relevance of the signs of the end of time within this country as well, insha'Allah, in the forthcoming lectures. This topic will be dealt with, and many other topics will be dealt with. We'll even move on to topics of major concern to us today. What is our concern in this society? What do we have to do? And inshallah, the signs of the Day of Judgment and also the safety of Muslims in this country will also be dealt with, inshallah.
What is meant by love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah and loving for the sake of Allah and hating?
What is meant by the love for the sake of Allah is loving Muslims, and not only loving Muslims, loving Sunni Muslims, those Muslims who follow the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And what is meant by hating for the sake of Allah is hating non-Muslims in the sense that we hate their kufr, we hate the disbelief of the non-Muslims. It's not that the hatred is personal and we hate all non-Muslims for whom they are. We hate the kufr, the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rejection of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the same way deviant Muslims, people who become deviant but they are still Muslims, we hate that deviancy. We do not like that deviant belief. This is what is meant by the love for the sake of Allah and hatred for the sake of Allah.
Are people in religion close-minded because they have their revealed books and their set laws and can't go against them? So they're not in a place to argue against what has been given to them. This is what the kuffar say to us. I think what this person is trying to say is the argument that the non-Muslims put forward is saying that how can you possibly be open-minded, how can you possibly be open to science or intellectual argumentation or reasoning when you already have made your mind according to what?
People of other religions are closed-minded. People of Islam are not closed-minded. Why? Because if they follow their book as it should be followed, one would know who reads Al-Quran that Al-Quran, people misuse the word argument or debate. Al-Quran has debates, not arguing. There's a difference between arguing and debating. Debating is where someone brings the evidence and the other party brings their evidence, while arguing is not listening to your opponent. Al-Quran brings all types of debates, and Al-Quran, anyone who studies Al-Quran will realize that Al-Islam is not a closed-minded faith, because Al-Quran contains arguments against atheists. In fact, for instance, in philosophy, many of the arguments are taken from Al-Quran, whether they realize this or not. The creationist view in philosophy, for instance.
It's two philosophers, one Christian philosopher, one German, Descartes, who argues through reasoning of philosophy to prove prove that there is a God. And these arguments, originally his teacher was a Christian who took up Imam Ghazali, rahimullah, who obviously used the argumentation in the Quran as a philosophy. So that even the Western philosophy has its roots in the Quran. The only reason people can understand Aristotle and Plato is because of the Arab philosophers that translated the verse.
In the same way, science in Al-Quran, Muslim scientists were known in history to be the most advanced scientists in history. Now, is it not ironic that the further we move away from Al-Quran in today's age, the further we move away from Al-Quran, that's how further we have become further away from progress in Ad-Dunya. And when Muslims were closer to Al-Quran, they were in their golden period. And then non-Muslims are telling us that you are further from Al-Quran and move even further away from Al-Quran. But when we look at our history, we will realize that the more closer we were to Al-Quran, the more successful we were in Ad-Dunya. And inshallah, I wanted to call this series of lectures Hadiul Quran al-Kareem, the guidance of Al-Quran al-Kareem. But because of the lack of awareness of Al-Quran, we term the lectures as the struggle of our time, because the struggle is taken from the verse of Al-Quran. But these lectures, inshallah, will deal with guidance from Al-Quran. Like today, we read a few verses, but inshallah, in the coming weeks, inshallah, these lectures will deal with those topics.
Just a point on the verses. If brothers can bring that pen and paper and at least memorize the verses that I mentioned in the talk, inshallah, by the end, you should memorize quite a bit.
And make notes on the verses of the Quran, write the verses down, and make notes around the verses as to the real meaning.
I think this question someone I think may have misunderstood you. The thing that you said, that it doesn't matter how much you pay for silk, it will wear out. But isn't it a sin for a man to wear silk?
Yes, it's a sin for men to wear silk, but women can wear silk. So women are not exempt from our lectures. Meaning, we can address the lecture to them. But we were referring to also worldly type of people. Worldly type of people, alhamdulillah, here everyone knows, inshallah, that silk is haram and no one will wear it. However, worldly type people do not care if they wear silk or not. And they wear silk. Hence, they spend money on silk, and that silk will even wear out.
We will try to answer all questions, whether or not questions or guidance. Guidance to some brave brother, mashallah, asked this question, and I think it relates to the argument people. He says, I want to start to read all my namaz, but I find it hard. The hardest thing is girls for me. That's what is stopping me. So I think it's one of the guidance.
I don't see the relationship between salah and girls. Two different things. Inshallah, brother, if you pray your salah in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and wash yourself properly, and always stay in the tahara, always stay in the state of wudu, always stay in the state of wudu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that verily, as-salah, prayer, prohibits a man from fahsha are ignoble acts that are not praiseworthy, and munkar, rejected acts. So if you stick to your salah and stay in a state of wudu, inshallah, women will not distract you, and always keep your eyes down, and try getting married as well. Reporting to the police.
You don't do anything yourself?
No. You report him.
state of the community is in there, how do we bring hope in the community and ways to control our anger?
Hope is brought by the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
And looking at the Quran.
If we are not reading enough Al-Quran, then we will know that we are not following the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This was the purpose of these weekly lectures, to bring people to Al-Quran and take the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If we do not even know what this guidance is, how do we expect to take guidance from it? So inshallah, keep attending these lectures. We're not saying that we're going to reform the whole community within a matter of weeks, but this is a long process and we cannot become reactionary. Reactionary is reacting to everything that takes place. Do not become reactionary. Become people who think. Become people who sit down and reflect over their state and condition. With regard to the individual you mentioned, these groups are extremist groups, Wahhabi groups, and I do not tend not to delve into sectarianism, but if someone is promoting misguidance, these people do not have mercy upon Muslims. We know the history as mentioned by Ibn Abidin in his Hashia, where he mentions that these people, the rebels, who rebelled against the Caliphate, the Ottoman Caliphate, they killed the Muslims in their thousands. Killed Muslims over 200 years ago. This is the same brand of Al-Islam. And this brand of Islam was promoted by Western imperial powers during that period to dismantle the Sunni Ottoman Caliphate. The Ottomans was major Sunni leaders who promoted Sunni Islam. And they even inscribed Al-Burda, Al-Sharifa upon the robe of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These people were promoted at that time by this country and by Western nations. In our times, the same groups have been promoted. They were promoted in the 70s and in the 80s in certain jihads, valid jihads in Afghanistan and other countries. That same problem this government is facing now, that those people that they funded and exported, wherever there was a lack of knowledge of Islam and a lack of knowledge of Al-Quran, those groups were funded and infiltrated such areas, rural areas, cities where scholars were dying. يُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ, as mentioned in the hadith, knowledge will be taken away. And the only people that were around at that time to keep Muslims upon their deen were people of such a brand of Islam. And this brand of Islam was promoted by these Western governments. We did not have youth who promoted suicide bombing 20 years ago. This Anjum Chowdhury individual you've mentioned, for instance, is of a Pakistani background, and we know Pakistanis generally are from Sunni Muslim backgrounds. Why did he become a person who's promoting suicide bombing on television? He's not an intellectual of any caliber, really. He is a lawyer, but he's promoted on television. There's a certain reasoning behind. Any Muslim would know that there's a reason for these type of individuals being placed on television. There's a reason behind this. Umar Bakri, who was one of the leaders of these movements, why was he placed on television when he does not represent
the views of Muslims in terms of a majority. Why was he placed on television? Why was he given so much promotion on the television? In fact, we should not be questioning Muslims why these people are here. We should be questioning this government. Why are these people here? Why was Umar Bakri being given social security by this government? Why was he accepted as an asylum seeker in this country? And he was the one who made Anjan Chaudhry an extremist. So this government should be questioned. Why was this form of Islam promoted within this country? And why was not the tradition Sunni Islam promoted by this government? Not that we want their backing. InshaAllah, we'll wrap up for today. We'll do dua, and I'm going to give the microphone to our respected.
Next week, same time, brothers.
Thank you.